From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this local and statewide news update. Six candidates are seeking three Juneau area seats in the Alaska Legislature. For today's question of the day, we asked them, what is your view of healthcare access to Alaskans? Should it be a publicly funded right? Should it be decided by the free market? What do you intend to do in the legislature to bring that about?
I'm Sarah Hannon, and I'm running for House District 33.
Sarah.
Oh, I love this question. 35% of our budget in this state is tied up in delivering health to our citizens, and we're not healthier. With the amount of money we spend treating disease and illness, we face an economic crisis. We have to turn our whole lens around and start incentivizing people being healthy and delivering services much earlier, before they're ill and diseased and we're treating and recovering from it. Many of our long-term expensive diseases are identifiable very early on, things like diabetes, type 2 diabetes, that we could treat and prevent, but we don't because insurance doesn't cover it. So I want to switch the lens and make sure that we are addressing the health of Alaskans at a community level. And I think we really have to address local community health care centers to be able to address citizen needs in their communities, including telemedicine.
My name is Chris Diamond, and I'm running as an independent candidate to represent all of the residents of District 33.
So Medicaid, health care is a huge divisive subject. I think what we should do as we work through how we're going to pay for health care for people, we need to start incentivizing small businesses to do like our union does, where we have a private health trust that negotiates on behalf of all of our members to get us health care at a reduced cost. I think that if we can do something like that with small business owners across this state as one big pool, that we would really work to lower health care costs and get people into an insurance plan so that they have the resources necessary to ensure that they're not going bankrupt when they get sick.
I'm Jesse Keel. I'm running for the Alaska State Senate in Senate District Q.
You asked the broader questions. Rather than go back, I think Medicaid expansion was a tremendous and an excellent step for Alaska. It's both helped the economy grow and it's attracted more providers to our state. More importantly than that, there are another roughly 40,000 Alaskans who have access to preventive and regular care. That's tremendous. I think we need to continue to work, however, on the private sector portion of the market, on things like costs, and there's been a lot of innovation in our state. You've heard some other folks mention some. The state recently won an award for some of the insurance legislation that was passed that helped lower the costs in the private insurance market. Some of the work that's being done toward managing chronic conditions and helping people be healthier is tremendously valuable. There are still communities in our district without access to a doctor year-round.
I'm Don Etheridge, running as an independent for Senate seat Q.
The plans that Chris started talking about there is something that we've put together through a coalition of all the unions, and many businesses have weighed in on that. And we're able to cut our health care costs tremendously through that coalition by negotiating with doctors, with providers, with the hospitals, everybody. We're able to make it a whole lot better plan for our membership by doing that. And I think that the state can do that. And I've talked to the state legislature about that for years, and they keep saying, oh, we can't do that, we can't do that. Well, yes, we can.
My name is Andy Story, and I'm running for State House in District 34.
This is something that really has to have a lot of care and looking at what we're going to do about paying for health care. I know that voluntary pooling has been talked about in this state. I know that many of our school districts have different plans, and in looking at consolidating some of those plans, you really have to go to all the partners and stakeholders who are involved and what will the consequences be of that. I think that one thing that when we're looking at health care, Medicaid expansion definitely was a big help, and we want to continue doing that. I think that I know that the legislature funded looking at different healthcare delivery models, and we will be bringing that back to the legislature if that is we should go forward
Thank
with
you,
some
Amy.
Of those.
This is Jerry Nan Curvis, candidate for House District 34.
somebody else mentioned this as well. Prevention and early intervention are essential to reducing the costs. You just heard about pooling. That has been an option that is discussed. What else I would like to see us look at is what I call open borders on healthcare. Instead of having healthcare not be able to be represented across more than one state, have open borders and get more competition in here. I believe the competition as well will reduce the costs. The city has actually done a great job keeping healthcare costs down through prevention, through healthy lifestyles, and through a program that we call, I can't read my writing right now, we've done a great job at keeping our costs flat for years now.
Thank you, Jerry.
One of the largest old-growth timber harvests in years has been proposed on Prince of Wales Island. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the U.S. Forest Service said logging would help fuel local economy.
The Forest Service project manager Delilah Brigham in Thorne Bay said at first blush, this project does look big, but
we're looking at metering out timber harvest over 15 years. So yes, the project does offer a larger amount of old growth, but it's not going to be harvested all right now within 1 year.
The proposal envisions as much as 225 million board feet of old growth timber logged. That would dwarf the recent Big Thorn project, which was touted as offering nearly 150 million board feet of timber. And unlike Big Thorn, this proposal doesn't immediately identify specific areas to be logged. Rather, it covers a patchwork of Tongass National Forest lands on Prince of Wales and surrounding islands. But Brigham said the purpose remains the same, feed demand.
We had a wide variety of comments from different size mills across the project area, saying that their businesses rely on a steady supply of timber.
That's been met with skepticism. Pat Lavin is an Anchorage-based representative of Defenders of Wildlife, a national environmental group opposing the plan.
There's no evidence that anything would be milled locally, and that at least hasn't been the trend and isn't what one would expect out of this sale either. Most of the product has been exported, unfortunately, and that would probably continue.
The Forest Service also received pushback over concerns about commercial logging's effects on fish and wildlife habitat.
Prince of Wales Island has been the site of some of the most intense logging over the past several decades.
Austin Williams is with the Alaska chapter of Trout Unlimited.
The thrust of our comments were to encourage the Forest Service to really be mindful of impacts to fish and wildlife and to really find a way to move the timber program more towards young growth and away from this old growth logging.
The Forest Service had considered other alternatives. Tongass Forest Supervisor Earl Stewart is the official who signed off on this most aggressive logging plan. He's unfazed by criticism, saying controversy is part of the process.
You know, managing of competing interests from all the different programs and elements is always a challenge and always difficult.
The Forest Service will publish its draft decision on Saturday. That triggers a 45-day window for people to raise objections. The agency then reviews those comments before releasing its final decision. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The National Weather Service in Juneau is forecasting rain and snow tonight with a low around 34 degrees. New snow accumulation of less than half an inch possible. Tomorrow, more rain and snow likely, mainly before 7 a.m., cloudy with a high near 42 degrees. New snow accumulation of an additional half inch possible. Heading into the weekend, more rain and snow, turning to all rain after 10 a.m. on Saturday. The National Weather Service has issued a high wind watch in effect Saturday morning through Saturday evening for downtown Juneau and Douglas. Northeast winds 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Currently, it's 35 degrees with light snow at the Juneau International Airport.